Frequency 49 show is brought to you by the Niner Empire GB.
Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm your host, Kat Victorino, and joining me today are James Little and Nathaniel James. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we are here to discuss all things 49ers draft. We had the draft in Nashville, Tennessee just this past weekend. And unsurprisingly, we did draft Nick Bosa, defensive end, Ohio State. Gentlemen, what do you see coming out of this young man?
Pass rush. He's pure pass rusher, isn't he? I think he's a better player than his brother. And his brother, I think, is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. It's a bit early probably to say he's a better player because we've not actually seen him play. Everything I've heard about him. A lot of controversy surrounding certain things to do with this young man, but he's very much that, a young man. He comes from football and genetics in terms of his dad was a first-round pick, his brother was a first-round pick, and now he's a first-round pick. Just expecting just him to be productive. Just a pure pass rusher, has the hands, has the speed. The Bosa's, they said that constantly all the way through the process was compared to his brother and the techniques that his brother has. And him, they were both trained by the same coach growing up, I think. And obviously they both played for Ohio State. And I think a lot's been, he's been constantly compared to his brother. And I just expect for productivity from him, really.
I think it's going to be an interesting one. Unsurprisingly enough, well done. I've got to give you a shout out there, James. I'm sure you said in the last podcast that you reckon that he would go in. He'd be called up, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Well done. Ohio State. I know that there's been some things that's been mentioned around him with the controversy around him saying things about Kaepernick and political, racial slurs with regards to Trump. I'm just hoping that really he just focuses on football and doesn't get involved in any of that. I think that obviously this has been, something that's happened with regards to Kaepernick, and I think, yeah, as I say, I just want to just have a footballer that actually focuses on football. I think it would be, prior to when he was drafted, I know that Justin Smith had been saying some things about him. So potentially he could. I think we've been wanting that sort of Justin Smith person, to somebody to fill what Justin Smith did when he was playing for us.
But he only played 3 games last year, and then he was injured, and he spent the rest of the season on the injured list, was at the Rose Bowl when Ohio State played, but wasn't playing. Should we be concerned that we're drafting players that are coming off of an injury?
I think he's well clear of that injury. I listened to the Move the Sticks podcast, not to plug another podcast.
No. We must credit our sources.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks from the NFL, they did a 360 and they'd done it on Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa and the Clemson D-line. And on the Nick Bosa one, obviously I listened to it, very intrigued, and they interviewed everyone, even from his high school coach, his mom, his dad, his brother was on there, his Ohio State coach, Urban Meyer as well, as he's obviously individual position coaches, teammates. And it was, to be honest, it was that pod that really solidified in my mind that when we draft, I was convinced we were drafting him anyway, because I said it. And when we drafted him, and having listened to that podcast, I recommend it to anyone. I had a bit of concerns about, and I said it before, with the sense of entitlement that he's just going to come in and destroy the NFL. But according to all the people, and obviously they are going to say good things about him, but according to what they were saying, he works hard. He works hard at his craft. So that's all. I've said it before. I just think of these guys as football players on our team now.
I think we do tend to get emotionally invested. Hello, what was his name last year? Reuben Foster. I mean, these are our players, you know, and you do end up getting emotionally invested in them, and you want them to be good people and the whole nine yards. But yeah, ultimately, they are just football players, and that's what we're supposed to be rooting for.
Yeah, I think with the signing of Dee Ford, takes a slight bit of pressure on how much we're going to expect from him. We've already got Buckner, who we know can produce. He had 12 sacks alone himself last season. I mean, if he gets anywhere near that again, then he's a phenomenal D-line player. We can, you know, I'm expecting, I don't know, I'm not going to put numbers on it, but if just, there's, in my mind, going into the season, I've read a lot already about us winning the division. We're a playoff team. We're not that. Mm-mm. We're not that yet, because we haven't done anything yet. It's the same as last season with the hype, and I got fully sucked into it. We haven't done anything yet, but what I will say, on paper, we've possibly got the best D-line or the best front seven in the NFL. We've Nick Bosa coming into that takes the pressure off him, as opposed to him being the number two pick, the only guy on our defensive line who could possibly be getting sacks and, you know, rushing the pass. I think with the other weapons we've got on there, it takes a bit off him. He's a rookie at the end of the day, whether he's regard, you know, whether he's the second overall pick and he's got these fantastic genetics and stuff. We've got to let him settle as a rookie.
Yeah, and it's like you were saying, really, he's from that footballing family, isn't he? He's got a background in football, so he's going to have, you know, he's obviously going to have quite a, you know, good brain on his with regards to, you know, knowing what to do in certain situations and everything. I think that obviously with regards to, you know, his injury and kind of conditioning, hopefully, you know, we had a really awful season, you know, with injuries last year, and hopefully, you know, we're in a situation where we've got a strength and conditioning coach that can actually maintain and make sure these guys are you know, fit and everything. So I know that obviously Lynch and Shanahan had, you know, they've re-looked at it and rejigged it around and reinvested in it. So you never know what can happen, but you know, hopefully we're going to have a much more kind of positive sort of season. We'll just have to see what happens.
Wait to see what happens on the field, because again, like I say every draft show, not all of these guys are going to perform well in the NFL. Their experience in college does not necessarily translate into success in the NFL. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I like the direction we're taking in terms of addressing the defensive needs. I'd rather we picked up one or two cornerbacks instead of just the one, you know, a couple. As for the controversy with Bosa, you know, I had my say in the group. I've had my say on my personal Facebook page. For a lot of us liberal fans, it is concerning that he follows white supremacist groups on Twitter. It's concerning that he allowed his agent to go in and delete everything that he had previously posted. Yes, he was young and he was stupid, and he's acknowledged that, and I hope those were sincere words. But I also disagree with that is who you are or who you were and makes you who you are now, and to turn your back on that is disingenuous to me and is deceptive to your, at the time, potential fan base, but now to your fan base. I'm glad that he did address it head on. I feel it was a patent answer, however. I'm a little skeptical about his character, and character has been a big deal in the NFL the last 3 years. So I will wait and see. Right now, for me, he's just a player, and I hope he plays well, and I hope he does well, because I want the team to do well, and for me, that's what this is about.
Perfectly put.
Thank you.
That's perfectly put. There you go. I think everyone has heard enough about Nick Bosa. I think the next time we talk about Nick Bosa is when we've seen some football production from him.
There's OTAs and there's training camp. We're going to be watching that too. Come on.
All right, next time we'll talk about Nick Bosa, who's when he's wearing that jersey.
Exactly.
And he was holding up on the stage.
Oh, and I'm not fond of him taking number 97 away from Bryant Young. I'm sorry. I'm just not, but that's me.
Yes, I was just about to say, and it won't be number one, it'll be number 97. I don't know why he wears number 97.
Well, I know, it's dad's number.
I've never got the reasoning for that.
I mean, come on, it's BY. We all love BY. But there's only so many numbers in the world that you can put on the back of a jersey.
Especially in the size of the rosters going into OTA.
Exactly. So let's move on to Deebo Samuel, a wide receiver from South Carolina. I think picking up a wide receiver or two, thank you, in the draft was not a bad move. What do you guys think?
This was the pick for me that was going to decide the way we were going with this draft. And it was, for me, it was down to Samuel, Metcalf, or Greedy Williams. Greedy Williams, the cornerback, supposed the best cornerback in the draft.
And I would have liked to have him.
I would have been happy with Greedy Williams and or Metcalf or Samuel. Kind of glad we didn't get Metcalf with how he fell. And since the draft, I've looked more into him as a player and realised that he's kind of one-dimensional for wide receiver, but he plays for another team anyway. Don't matter about him. But, so, yeah, between Samuel and Greedy Williams, I'd have been happy with either. But we've got Jimmy Garoppolo coming back. He's going to have a point to prove, and we've got to give him weapons. Because we've lacked, other than, I think, Kittle last year and the amazing season he had. And
what a season.
He dragged us through so many games, and no disrespect to the guys, but, you know, we saw they played well, but with Nick Mullins and Beathard as his quarterbacks, you know, just imagine if Jimmy had stayed fit all last season and he'd have had that sort of season. Anyway, my point is, I think how well Kittle did last season, how he dragged us through games and how well we run the ball overshadowed, for me, our lack of weapons out wide on our offense. I do like Goodwin. I really admire him and like him as a person. I do kind of get emotionally attached.
I told you!
But I like him, but ultimately, he hasn't given us the productivity a wide receiver should. Well, a number one, you would have said he's our number one wide receiver last season because, unfortunately, Garcon didn't stay fit and we just didn't get anything out of him. We haven't had a wide receiver that has been that number one, you know, that first read. What's he doing? Right, okay.
Well, it's that breakaway, you know, and I think Goodwin was supposed to be that breakaway wide receiver, and I don't think he's ever met that potential because of injury and because of things going on in his life. What do you think Deebo can do for us?
I hold the opinions of ex-players a lot higher than these analysts, people who've been on that field and done it. And I'm hearing a lot of good things about people who've watched him in college. Again, we'll see if it transfers to the NFL. But I think Deebo was a Kyle Shanahan pick. I think he knows how versatile this guy is and how well his route running is. I've heard the words, and I don't want to put the markers on him, but this guy has the potential to be an Antonio Brown in the NFL. That's apparently the comparisons he's getting. And we all know that we were heavily flirting with him. We did.
No, 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 no. Qualify that statement. He flirted with us.
That's true. Probably it was me that was with him, but never mind. But yeah, I think it's a great pick. I think it was the pick that decided the direction we were going in this draft.
When I was watching him prior to the prior to obviously coming on tonight, I sort of watched some of the highlights with him. He looks quite interesting. He's not a very tall receiver, but he somehow makes himself bigger than what he actually is on the field, if that makes kind of any sense.
It's a separation that he gets, isn't it?
And I think that, you know, obviously there's... I saw him and he seemed to be making a lot of one-handed catches in the end zone. So it'd be nice to actually have somebody that can be that, you know, that playmaker. Whether that happens or not, you know, who's to know? We've got to see what happens in training camp and in also in, you know, sort of that pre-season. But, yeah, I think, obviously, you know, it would be nice for him, you know, to be targeted, you know, by Jimmy. He could be quite an interesting guy to watch. I think that obviously I was just doing some reading also. Niners Wire has stated, I think Wire's Doug Farrar, he'd mentioned that he'd fit, you know, he's the best possible fit for a wide receiver for Shanahan's scheme. And I think, as you've correctly mentioned, James, he's, you know, I think this is, you know, obviously Shanahan's, we've said it before, he is this, you know, guy that is this offensive genius. Hopefully, you know, it's about being able for him to be fitting in the correct system. I think that if we had, in retrospect, like everybody else, I thought everybody was hyping up Metcalf, and I think he went quite late in
he did, yeah.
In the second or third round, and I think, you know, in a sense, you think, okay, well, hold on a minute, maybe that wasn't the correct move. Maybe this guy was a bit of a bust, really. But I think, obviously, you know, we said it before, Shanahan knows what he's doing. He's got those years of experience as a offensive coordinator, so I for one can't wait to see what this guy can do on the field. If he can play like he has been in these highlights, one of those things, it could be interesting. Again, real potential. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do training camp and preseason.
Can I just say, if Metcalf comes back to bite us when we play them, I am solely blaming you there, Nathaniel. I'm just saying that now. I'm just going to get that on record.
Well, but we, you know, we don't know. Again, Metcalf may not transition well into the NFL. But getting back to Debo, what I'm seeing based on reports from the NFL and specifically some analysis by Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, what I'm reading from him is that he's got good movement, good route running ability, good stopping, good hands. Needs a little improvement on footwork. But then the very last line is kind of scaring me. Again, past hamstring issues causes concerns for evaluators. Here we go. I mean, it's a violent sport. It's a hard sport. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised. But hopefully he transitions to the NFL well.
I think on the flip side of that, from what I read, was he had 166 catches for 2,751 yards with 53 touchdowns when he was playing for South Carolina. So we'll see, won't we?
As we will with any of these guys, right?
Yeah. That step up is, you know, I think that's what one thing we need to acknowledge, isn't it? The step up from playing at college up to the NFL is faster paced. It's more powerful. You know, there's more, I guess in a sense, potentially there's more sort of technique, there's more strategy, there's more power in the game.
It's more chess than it is checkers. Okay, so our next wide receiver was Jalen Hurd from Baylor. What do you guys see out of this? I'm kind of curious because this guy was used in college at Baylor as a running back a couple of times. So does that mean he's got a little bit more versatility as a wide receiver?
Yeah, well, he started in college football as a running back, and then when he transferred to Baylor was when he was started to be used as a wide receiver. He's very much, again, I think, a Shanahan pick in the terms that, you know, his size, he's built more like a tight end than a wide receiver, or you call him a big-bodied, tall wide receiver. Similar stature to Jordan Matthews, who's already on our roster and one of our free agent signings. But yeah, I mean, if he's got experience of playing running back, wide receiver, and I think he has had experience of playing at least slot receiver or as close to tight end, it's just another person that we can put on the offense all over in various positions to confuse, hopefully, the opposition. There's been questions raised about his character, and he's had run-ins with coaches, and there's, yeah, again, it's character questions, but I'm sure they'll stamp it out. Hopefully, you know, you're in the big time league now, time to grow up. But no, it's I didn't see any mock drafts or anyone having us taking this guy, but I think it's a Shanahan pick due to his versatility. And Shanahan, Kyle will be sat there thinking, what can I do with this guy? Where can if he truly is this, well, the most complex offensive mind in the NFL, we're in for an entertaining season, I think.
I was quite surprised by this one, actually, because I thought we'd actually go cornerback potentially at this stage.
That's what I was thinking.
we had the option of going. We had two cornerbacks that we could have taken. Names escape me now, but you know, potentially that could have been really, you know, that were quite, you know, could have been quite useful. Again, yeah, I was just quite surprised that they made the decision to have another wide receiver. But yeah, it could be an interesting one. He had the Big 12 Offensive Newcomer of the Year in 2018. So we'll just, yeah, it'll be interesting. It looks like he's definitely got some competition. It will make the in terms of the wide receiver court, that'll be interesting to watch with everybody else and see how he kind of competes.
It'll be interesting. I thinking about it. Okay, we have Goodwin, who we had hoped would be our breakaway receiver, but that hasn't happened as of yet. But then we lost Garcon. So not surprised we took two wide receivers in the draft, considering we did lose a receiver and Goodwin hasn't been able to live up to his full potential. What I'm seeing out of Jalen, that he's not a natural pass catcher is what they're reporting. He needs to be catch ready sooner to prevent the throws from eating him up. That's not going to be a breakaway receiver for us, but if we can use him, you know, in the slot from the backfield, you know, we could end up being very dangerous on that short yardage situation.
It's red zone target, isn't it? One thing that I didn't mention, Nathaniel, when he was quoting Debo Samuel's stats, was the sheer number of touchdowns. The guy can catch half field and run all the way, but he's also a very good deep red zone threat. Sorry.
Nice. We need the red zone threat. Red zone's been our Achilles heel these last few seasons.
And I think that's exactly the thinking behind these two picks back to back. I think when they'd have got to this third round pick, this is when in that war room they were like, okay, are we going cornerback? Are we going? And I think again, it's a Shanahan pick. I think it is, for me, underlining the authority. And I'm pleased to see it because he's been questioned, you know, about is he really a head coach or is he just an offensive? And I think these are his picks. He's the head coach of our team. And these two certainly are his picks for his scheme, his offensive mind, for him to do what he wants to do with. And hopefully, it'll win us game.
Oh, we'll see, won't we? So the next pick we made had me scratching my head. And I kind of went, really? So no offense to the player. Mitch Wishnowsky, punter from Utah, who has already signed a four-year contract. Yes, we need a punter because Bradley Pinion is gone, correct?
He went to the Bucs, didn't he?
So we have no punter. So yes, we need a punter. Did we need to draft a punter?
In my opinion, yes.
Okay, tell me why.
And I'll tell you why. Because I did watch the interview with Lynch and Shanahan. In retrospect, you think about it. We lost Bradley Pinion. We're looking to... And Lynch was sort of saying that he believed that this guy, I mean, he's an Australian-born punter. Well, he used to play Aussie rules.
He had to give it up because of a shoulder injury.
He did. But I think that, you know, in Shanahan was saying, he thought he would go a lot earlier in the draft because of, you know, kind of what his ability was. And in looking at some of the videos, I thought, yeah, he has got a level of skill in terms of making sure he punts it in a certain area.
His average punting distance was 47.6 yards. So let's just say 48. That was his average. And I think, well, yeah, I think the stat was that was pretty much he was getting that distance 80% of the time. And field position, field position can be very, very important in late stages of games. We've possibly selected the best punter that we could have done in the draft.
And I think this is the thing that I was sort of, the reason that I say that, in retrospect, yeah, initially I was quite surprised, but we look at this, Lynch and Shanahan believe that this guy's going to be a 10-year guy to have that long-term kind of solution for the Niners. So, yeah, I think I initially was quite surprised, but actually it makes sense.
If he's on our team for 10 years, he justifies the pick.
Well, there you go. And then I'll be eating crow, absolutely. And I will do it happily.
One last thing on him. Did you hear the phone conversation you had? How relaxed. Such an Australian.
Well, I mean, he's already got a little place in my heart because he's an Aussie. I love the Aussies. But, okay, I have to mention this fact that I found out today for my mother, okay? And I don't even know if she listens to the show. I would hope so. But this boy won the 2016 Ray Guy Award. Now, Ray Guy is my mom's absolute favorite punter. We grew up a Raider household. And Ray Guy, hello, he was the inventor of hang time. We all know this. So for mom, there you go, mom. Your new punter was the 2016 Ray Guy Award winner for the nation's top punter, and he was a finalist in 2017 for that award. So there we go. A shout out to my mom. I get to take that liberty once in a blue moon. Let's go back. Okay, we're going back to defense with Dre Greenlaw, linebacker, Arkansas. We need linebackers.
We do. I think he's very much a depth chart guy. Reading he's going to spend time on special teams. I wouldn't expect to see too much of him. However, if he's needed, which is a possibility with our team and history of injuries, I think he's very much a capable player. Again, when you get to these rounds, it's if they can add something to the roster. You're not looking for stars when you get, in my opinion, when you get down to your fifth and sixth round, you're not looking for starters on your team. You're looking for guys to add depth and perform if they need to, or at least add to the teams. And I think that's very much, in short, I think it's a solid pick. That's what I'd say.
I think it depends, really, doesn't it, James? Because take Tom Brady. I mean, he went in the fifth and sixth round.
How many times?
I know. Shall we do some digging to see what Niner stars were picked at? Oh.
But I think, yeah, he looks like, again, he looks like he's got potential. He looks like he's quite a decent character guy, which I think's kind of important. I read an article just because I was just put him into Google and finding out what was happening. Apparently, he saved somebody at a party that was that had a drink spiked and everything.
Yes,
and that,
that's character.
Because you could have the other part, you could have the other sort of end of that where you've had the Reuben Foster where potentially he tries and take advantage and everything. So I think it's nice that, we have somebody that seems to be a good character guy. We've had, too much of it in the last, two or three seasons where we've had these guys, haven't we?
Longer
I'm not going to go any further into that, but longer than that. But as I say, I'm not going to go into much detail. But it looks like, looks like he's got a good attitude. Let's hope he performs well in the preseason.
Well, from what I'm reading, he was a 4-year starter in college. He's got a smooth athlete. He's rangy. He has the ability to chase down his targets. And he's usually around the football. Well, if you're around the football, could we possibly be heading towards getting some turnovers? Something that was sparse last year.
What's a turnover?
Exactly.
Somebody explain what that is.
Something we hope to find out next year. And then we move on further down the draft, and we drafted Caden Smith, a tight end from Stanford. Again, I went, did we need another tight end?
Yeah, I completely agree. Baffled me. Does it mean that we're not going to see Celik time? I hope not.
Yeah.
I like Celik.
Me too. But we all know that Kittle is the number one tight end, so you know.
Without question. Now Rob's gone. There's a crown there for you, George. Go and get that crown. go and get that number one tight end in the NFL, please. I want to see you do that. But no, from what I've read about him, he's a good blocker. So let's hope he can add something again.
He's quite a tall guy, isn't he? I mean, Stanford man, so never can go wrong with one of those guys, can you? he's 6'5", isn't he?
Oh, wow, okay.
So quite a big guy. I think it'll be interesting. Again, we've got to be a competitive, it is a competitive team, a competitive league, isn't it? So it is a results-based business, isn't it? So you're going to really need to have, you know, somebody. I think he could potentially, yeah, could be interesting. I reckon he'll give some real competition for Celek. I don't know how. I mean, as I say, it'll be interesting to see whether or not he again fits Shanahan's scheme. I mean, obviously we saw how well, you know, Kittle did last season. Could we see a number two that could, you know, perform to that? Well, possibly.
Again, we're emotionally invested in Celek.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything I'm reading on him is pretty solid, it sounds like. He runs his runs feet post contact on down blocks. He has the size and strength to kick out linebackers on the edge, which is important. Physical on the top of his roots, able to catch through collisions, which I like that. You know, we'll see again. How will he translate into the NFL?
If nothing, if he pushes Celek to be better, I'd be happy.
There you go. I like that idea. Then we get down further into the draft, and we drafted an offensive tackle from Vanderbilt named Justin School.
Yeah. Again, I've heard quite a bit about this guy. The word project potential muted around him. Again, I can't see him starting, but there's a young guy there to mold, to mentor. I think we'll see him on the roster. I think it will do nothing but push the veterans that are already on the team. And I think it will just be exactly like I just said. If he does nothing but to push the guys that we've already got on the team to be better, then it's a good thing. But from what I've read, he's a potential guy. He's got potential, and he was. I don't know his stats from college, but from the film that I've seen, he looks. Looks like he can get a bit angry, which is what you want in that position. So, yeah, potential is what I'd say, or what I've heard about this guy.
Yeah, certainly agree with you, James. I think, obviously, that he has that potential. Let's just hope that, you know, Joe Staley can take him under his wing and, you know, kind of... Because, as I say, we talk about it, isn't it? It's that transition from college to the NFL.
So what I'm reading, I love how you're struggling there. What I'm reading is, you know, he's had experience at both tackle positions, which shows versatility. We could definitely use that, especially when we get injuries on the offensive line. Adequate balance, strong grip, will look to work to protect his quarterback. That we definitely need. Weaknesses, struggles against quality shed power at point of attack. You know, looking at some of these, I'm kind of like, I think these are all thing works with elevated pad level and below average leverage, looks to catch and corral with hands too wide. I think those are all things that can be coached. And I think if he really puts that effort forth, he could be a good complement to that line.
And I think that last year the last couple of years we've had that issue, haven't we, where we've had a really, you know, our offensive line hadn't been brilliant, but then we you know, obviously we took a lot of people in kind of free agency and in the draft last year, so we've certainly built around that.
And McGlinchey needs some support, you know, if he's the new face of the offensive line, he's going to need some people with him, so...
Yeah, the heir apparent.
Exactly.
or junior, as Joe Staley calls it.
Junior.
Their relationship is fantastic.
It is, and it's going to be a sad day in this house when Staley retires. So our last pick that we had was, I believe, towards the end of the sixth round. I believe we did not have a pick in the seventh round. Was Tim Harris, a cornerback from Virginia. There's my cornerback! Finally!
The only bad news about him, though, Kat, is he's fairly injury prone.
That's what's worrying me.
Did he not play 6 years in college or something? I think he had. I know he had at least one extra season due to like a medical extension due to basically being injured for the season.
He missed 2 years with injuries. 2 years.
What do I know about Tim Harris? Not much, to be honest. I didn't really find a great deal on him. Reading a report on him, it looks like he seems to have quite good leadership potential. He looks like he did a lot of that within Virginia's sort of secondary. So it could hard one to call, really. I guess I was a bit surprised, Kat. I think really it should have had a corner earlier on in the draft, in my opinion. But then, what do I know?
Yeah, what do we know?
We'll just have to see what happens. Unfortunately, no, I couldn't really find a great deal on him.
We just get to pontificate and, you know, give our opinions, and we're not experts at all. So
it's brick by brick. Next year we will draft a early round
3 cornerbacks.
We'll draft a stellar cornerback. But then again, we have got a former first round cornerback that we recently signed. So if he stays injury free, we've kind of got a first round cornerback.
And my thing is, I wonder how much Tim could learn from Richard Sherman. We still have Richard Sherman under contract. He's still on our team. And I really hope that Sherman is going to take the reins and do some massive mentoring with this kid.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before, won't go into it, but Richard Sherman, for me, has definitely got the footballing brain to go on to be a coach,
absolutely,
if not a head coach.
Absolutely. Anything else we want to add?
We were going to talk about a little bit about Wilton Spate. I don't know, you know, obviously he was picked up. He's an undrafted free agent. We were just talking about him prior to the show, weren't we, about, you know, obviously him being under, he was a Michigan Wolverine, wasn't he? You know, obviously, for those, I hope I don't upset anyone, but, you know, obviously Jim Harbaugh, he obviously coached him at one point, and there was that competition between him and what was the other guy's name? Oh, John O'Korn, wasn't it? John O'Korn. He had quite a competition with there, and he was on the All or Nothing Michigan Wolverines sort of thing, documentary, wasn't he
on Amazon?
It's an interesting one if people have the time to watch it.
Reading about him, he went 13-3 as a starter at Michigan, at a big school, and he went undrafted. So I don't know. Again, I think our quarterback room is very much solidified. I think the only person we could possibly see slip out of that would be Bedford.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
We'll definitely see how it goes. Well, I think that's it for this show. Thanks to Audionautix.com for the music. Thanks to Mark Lyon, Mark Kant, Andy Mitchell, Neil Jepson, Deepak Gohill, Paul McDonald, James Little, Rob Newell, Simon Holdsworth, Nathaniel James, Ross Irwin, Jason Argo, Daryl Hanman, and Graham Ross for all the work they do on the group and on the show. Apologies if I've missed anyone. There are so many of you that do so much for this group. We appreciate it. If you would like to get involved in the show, let us know. You can message any of the admins in the group. We're always looking for members to appear on the show or just to contribute content. Personally, I would love to have you on the show. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Niner Empire GB, and on Facebook, search for the group Niner Empire GB. And don't forget to check out our blog, which is available on your favorite podcast app. You can also email us at frequency49show@gmail.com. It's time to say goodbye, boys.
Goodbye.
Can I say, just before goodbye, can I say welcome back, Rob Newell? It's nice to have you back on Niner Empire GB. But yeah, aside from that, goodbye.
Hang on one second. I do want to say one thing, and I think it's been about a month, but unfortunately we learned that a member of our group had actually passed away, and that was Margaret
Clegg. Yes.
And she me and her exchanged messages. I'd never met the lady in person, but she was always really, really nice, very knowledgeable about our team. And she was always asking me about my son. And because I'd never met her in person, I used to get a message randomly asking how he was. And I thought that's just something really nice. And just something I wanted to mention, that I was really, was a little bit upset to hear about her passing. I don't know how the circumstances surround it, but no, I'll miss talking to you, Margaret, and when I'm watching the coming season, I'll definitely share a thought about you.
I did forget the in memoriam, and I apologize for that. Margaret was a wonderful person with a big heart and did a lot of volunteering around the Greater Manchester area, and was definitely someone I looked up to and had hoped to meet one day. The group did also lose another friend who was actually a sort of a sister more to our leader, Deepak. Patty Price passed away in January. She and I had become close and had talked about getting together and meeting. She, lived further south of me, but I will miss her as well. She educated me a lot on a lot of topics that I had very little knowledge of in terms of Native American history, and her insights will sorely be missed. And on that note, on behalf of James Little and Nathaniel James, I'm Kat Victorino. We'll be back later in the off season, possibly after OTAs or at the beginning of training camp, as soon as we have some good juicy news to talk about. Thank you for listening, and goodbye for now.